You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, Episode 50, How to Transform Failures into a Powerful Catalyst for More Success. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired business leaders and visionary entrepreneurs. It's Melanie Benson here. And today, I want to share with you a very, very powerful free resource to help with our theme, which is turning that mindset around, helping you to really lock into a powerful story about every part of your business. And that's my free Rapid Cash Strategies downloadable book. Now, here's why I love this book so much. I personally have had a major breakthrough in my life and in my business by learning to rewire the way my mind works. And all of us are conditioned for the success we have right now. So if you want higher levels of success, you've got to condition your mind and rewire the way you think, what your beliefs are, and how you process the world so that you are making better choices and higher, more aligned decisions to propel you forward. Now, I share about my own journey and some very powerful techniques I learned that I will share with you in the book. So head on over to rewiredforwealth.com and get your free copy today. Now, let's get into the episode. If you've ever had that moment when you knew you had really messed up, it could have gone better, but it didn't. You made some really maybe not so great choices that led you down the wrong path. And this big plan you had didn't turn out the way you'd hoped, then you're probably intimately familiar with that feeling of mentally haranguing yourself because you didn't do it the way you should have. Call it failure, call it disappointment, call it lessons learned. How you handle that moment when you realize it's failed, it's not going to turn out the way you'd hoped, and you're going to have to figure out how to pick it up and move on. That moment determines your fate, and it shapes your mind for either greater successes or to fall prey to a very common trap, which is getting stuck in a failure. I'm no stranger to failures, and maybe you aren't either, or maybe you've had a few of them, but you've moved past them very powerfully, which, great job. I'm so glad to hear it. But I think that most of the entrepreneurs I know are really passionate. They're very driven. They're high achievers, and they're not really used to making mistakes and having things fail. So when things do fall apart, it can be really, really excruciating. One of the things that I've learned along the way, which I did learn through a lot of pain, was that failure is an important part of being successful. And how you frame something that doesn't work is a huge part of being able to be more and more successful. Listen, we can't succeed if we aren't making mistakes. It means you're not pushing yourself. You're not moving out of your comfort zone. You're not trying new things. Just like a child who's learning to walk and is going to fall quite a few times and bruise their knees, so are we as entrepreneurs and leaders. We are going to push the envelope. We're going to do things that don't work and sometimes don't work terribly. Failure is fuel for learning what works, what is aligned, and what isn't. See, I think for some people, especially the people that take failure really personally, somewhere along the way, we adopted a negative meaning to failing. So when things take a turn for the worse, the negative chatter kicks in and your motivation takes a death spiral. Embarrassment, shame, and maybe even a fear of being seen as failing becomes this thing that we hide out from. And we hope that no one will notice what happened. And we try to maybe even, kind of brush the failure under the rug and make it look better than it really is. Hey, everybody fails. Everybody hits a place that something doesn't work the way they planned on it. And even great kings, great legends, really famous people, celebrities, everybody topples at some point during their journey. But here's the key. If we can change our perspective about failing and maybe even hold your horses, I know this may be a shocker, embrace failing. Maybe then magic can happen in your business. A few years back, I was working with this client who he was dealing with a lot of mindset issues. And he actually met me at an event where I was speaking, and it was really funny. I remember him and his wife kind of following me down the hallway as I was walking back to my room. And that's always a little bit of an uncomfortable feeling for a speaker because you're not quite sure about what's getting ready to happen. And they were very lovely and just sweet people. And I was so honored that they said, you know, what you talked about today really, really moved us. And I feel like we need to hire you. And I thought, okay. So as I dug into working with them, and particularly the man who was the CEO, we discovered that he had a very big pothole that was defining the rest of his life. He had faced bankruptcy. He had had a lot of shame about the bankruptcy. Even though he had a six-figure business, he took that mistake really, really hard, and it was defining him. And he was beating himself up every day, feeling like he had failed beyond recovery. Now, he had a business that worked, but it was almost like it had no juice. So one of the things we did was we worked on his mindset. And I use a lot of neuro-linguistic programming and some very advanced rapid mindset change techniques to help people reprogram and rewire the way they think, especially about something that's not serving them. And so as we started to work on this and we lifted and broke those chains that were holding him back, he realized that he could reprogram what that failure meant to him and turn it into a catalyst that would provide him the momentum, the fuel, and the inspiration to do new things, better things. And it actually, what had happened was, when he looked at it with this new perspective, he realized he was actually given a gift to get out from underneath a business that he hated, that had no real good, great life for him. He was trapped in it, and he didn't really want to be there anyway. But if he'd stopped beating himself up for the bankruptcy and realized that this was maybe a painful way to be given this gift, but it was given to him, and that he actually created a business that he loved out of it, then he realized it actually was a gift, and it was a catalyst. So after having this big breakthrough, what he started to realize was he was now getting more profitable. Things that used to feel hard in his business were starting to feel easy. Leading his team now had a whole new meaning to him. And instead of like worrying every day whether or not he was going to make it, he was actually propelling so fast in his revenue generation that he wasn't worried every day if he was going to make it. See, what happens when you focus on a problem like that and you beat yourself up over that failure, you color every decision with, I can never make that mistake again. And it's a fear avoidance or failure avoidance in his case. And what happens is it defines how big we allow ourselves to get. And consciously or unconsciously, we hold back the growth. So what changed for this client? His attitude. He started looking at everything with this new perspective, which was, okay, failure is an important rite of passage. If you fail, you know you can pick yourself back up and do it again. It gives you information. It gave him information about what to not ever do again. So it led him into a more inspired and creative space. He started to be more resourceful. And instead of seeing everything so daunting and worried about the next shoe that might drop, he started to see possibility. And that made him a better leader, and it made him more effective at making decisions. I love this story that Sarah Blakely, who is the founder of Spanx, shared in an interview a while back. And she talked about how in her home, things were very, very different because her dad was a business leader, a business owner. And she would share in these interviews how her dad encouraged the kids to fail. And she says that growing up, instead of saying, what did you do well? What did you, you know, what worked? You know, what did you achieve? He would ask them, what did you do? What did you fail at that week? Think about it. Asking, what did you fail at? And if they hadn't failed at something, he would be disappointed because he wanted them to A, learn to fail, and B, learn to embrace failure as part of being better at success. And so what happened for her was it changed her mindset very early on that failure is not the outcome. Failure is not trying at things. And it caused her to not be afraid to fail. Richard Branson, who you've probably heard of, the founder of the Virgin Empire, says that every person, and especially every entrepreneur, should embrace failure with open arms. It's only through failure that we learn. And many of the finest minds have learned this the hard way. So what we're getting at here today in this particular episode is it's time to basically redefine what failure means. And instead of avoiding failing at things, allow yourself to embrace failing. So I wanted to give you a couple of tips to really not just like fail gracefully and not just to look at how do I change my thoughts about failing, which is a big part of it, but to really allow yourself the opportunity to make failure a part of success. Okay, so this is about changing the definition of it, but it's also about changing the way you operate. And what I've noticed is that people who are really driven by bold, okay, if you're really driven to be bolder, to own your bold, as I like to say, to go for bolder goals, you have to be willing to fail to get there. You have to be willing to not do it right to get to the boldest level of possibility. Okay, so one of these keys is that you've got to be willing to embrace these mistakes, embrace failing as a learning instead of defining it as something's wrong or bad. Okay, so if we're not making mistakes, it means we're not trying. And if we're not trying, then we're not learning and we're not getting better. And so you have to think about a failure or a mistake or a fail or an attempt that doesn't work out as it's basically on the ground training. You're training yourself on how to be better at what you do. Make better decisions, make better hiring strategies, use better growth strategies, market better. We always say, you know, in the marketing world that you never know how something's going to work. It's always track it, test it, track it, and fix it if it's not working. You don't know what's going to work until something fails and something works. And it's the same in any, it's really the same in life, right? What works, what doesn't work. So let's just embrace those learnings. Really look at the opportunity inside every failure because there always is one. Secondly, when you do make a mistake, own it. Don't avoid it. Now, I have to say this was a lesson hard learned for me because I grew up in a household that making a mistake was not okay. I'm wired to get things right. If you've ever studied Enneagram, you know that what the different Enneagram styles are. I'm a one, which means I am wired to get it right. That is not necessarily a good thing all the time, right? Because that's not how humans work. And I really had to make peace with the fact that it's okay to make mistakes and to own it. And so I remember a very, very powerful lesson I learned from one of my very first mentors. This was a spiritual mentor for me. And something had gone horribly wrong in the church community. And instead of trying to brush it under the rug and like kind of manage it so nobody knew, she literally got to the pulpit one Sunday and told the entire congregation about the mistake and asked for support and asked for patience as we moved through it. And I was so inspired by the way she handled it. And she embodied for me something that I was struggling with at the time, which was how to really own the mistake. And by owning it, two things happen. One, you're modeling for others that making a mistake is not the end, right? Like nobody's dying. Things haven't gone horribly wrong that we can't move past. And the mistakes are part of life and we will move through it together. But the other thing that happened is you actually empower people to support you. And that it's okay to be vulnerable and ask for help. And as a business leader, as someone who's, you know, used to having it all together, I think that's a very powerful message for a lot of us. So the second piece of this is be willing to own your mistake and ask for support. Okay. So asking for support through your mentor, from your family, from your team, from your colleagues. What would that look like? And if you're kind of wanting to shrivel up and die right now at the thought of asking for help, then you know this is the next big thing for you to really tackle, is to learn to ask for help or to let yourself be supported. So another piece of this puzzle is committing to an improvement cycle. So I like to think of things as cycles. And, you know, we're always in cycles of growth. We're always in cycles of learning. We're always in cycles of evolution. The market's always changing. What worked yesterday doesn't always work tomorrow. So everything's always moving. There's no static in business ever. And so if we look at that, things are always changing and always morphing and always growing. And that if we do something that doesn't work, how could we improve in a new cycle? So if we take the learning and we say, here's what I can learn from that, and here's what we can do better, and we really own it, and then we create an improvement cycle where we try a new piece to fix. So if you got your last launch wrong, what can you do differently in the future to make it closer to better or better? If you, you know, screwed up on stage and made a colossal mistake on your last speech, what could you learn from that to do it better? What can we do when we make a bad hire and we realize, oh my gosh, that was a colossal mistake, I hired the wrong person for the wrong reason? What can you learn from that so you can hire better? Think of it as an improvement cycle. And every time you go through a process again, what's one thing I can take and improve this time? This is a really important part of the success mindset, which is we're always in cycles. It's never about perfection. It's never about, I have to get it exactly right this time. And by the way, I'm talking to myself right now, right? As somebody who needs to get it right. This is a huge piece of growth, is to recognize it won't be right. But if I'm making progress and I'm willing to continue the cycle of improvement, then we can actually keep growing. You know, inside of every mistake is an opportunity to realign to more of what we want and do a little bit better or a lot better. Instead of letting that mistake crush you and shut you down, figure out what didn't work, figure out what can work better, and do it better next. Okay, so do it better next time. And last, I think, again, it's just important to keep saying it's okay to give yourself permission to fail, and here's why. If you are a failure avoider, meaning you will not take action on something if you're afraid of failing at it, then you need to give yourself permission to fail. So this can work in any situation. Let's say you're going for you want to partner with somebody on something, but you're afraid to ask, you're afraid you're going to get turned down. Okay. So they did say yes, and you approach them and they're like, yeah, this is great. Or they say no, but here's why. Or what if they ignore you and they don't do anything? What could you learn from that and use that as information to move forward? Let's say you're going to do a book launch and you write the book and you go through the whole thing and the book doesn't do what you think it's going to do. If you give yourself permission to fail, you'll write the book and you'll be 100 times farther along than you are right now. But if it doesn't do what you want, do another book launch. Try new strategies. Write a new book and incorporate what you learned, right? So by giving yourself permission to fail and not do it perfect, you're actually giving yourself permission to make progress. And I love the saying, I think it's Les Brown saying, is, you know, if you shoot for the moon, you'll at least land on the stars. But the important thing is, you won't be stuck where you are right now. Okay, giving yourself permission to fail means you don't have to get it perfect, but you can make progress. And if it fails, at least you've tried, at least you've grown, at least you've moved. Now, there's one last thought around all this, and I may do an entire podcast episode on it. That's the idea that, you know, what if you fail gracefully? So I like this idea of failing gracefully, because I actually don't. You know, I usually fail with a thud and a lot of drama, and it doesn't feel good. And so I'm playing with this idea, and let me know if you like this idea of failing gracefully. What if gracefully means you take yourself off the hook and you don't take it so hard, and you say, okay, well, this didn't work. Now what? What can I learn from this so I can move on instead of staying stuck in the pain of the failure and beating yourself up over it every day? And what if failing gracefully was this idea of I own it, and if I've hurt somebody else, I clean it up and I say, you know what? I messed up and I'm sorry. If I said the wrong thing and it hurt somebody, I can, you know, call them up and say, that didn't really come out the way I wanted, or I'm sorry. How can we make it better? How can we fail gracefully? Failing gracefully means we don't make it mean the world is over. We don't make it mean this big, horrible drama. We're like, okay, this didn't work. This sucks, but I'm learning something and I can grow. One of the best books I ever read is Michael Singer's The Untethered Soul. And he talks about this excruciating failure that his company went through and how he realized it was a mistake and he had to work the process to move through cleaning it up, which included a really ugly 10-year lawsuit. But he didn't attach his soul and his energy to the mistake. He just stayed plugged into, all right, what can I learn from this and how can I move through it with grace? And so I'll leave you with that thought. How could we start to move through these failures with more grace and literally make them a catalyst for growth, make them a catalyst for being more successful? I'd love to hear your thoughts over on the show page at melaniebenson.com/blog. And let me know, how can you fail gracefully? How can you fail in a way that makes it a success catalyst? All right, I'll see you again next week for another episode of Amplify Your Success. Also, if you've loved this episode and you think others might too, give it a little social media love. That on the show page, there are buttons that you can share it. I'm on Twitter, Mel Coach. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Benson Strick. I'm on Instagram at Coach Melanie Benson. So thanks so much for being here. We'll be back again next week with another exciting, inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success. I'm Melanie Benson. Bye for now.